Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you.
It's 8:50, and Dave Dickey will be joining us momentarily for our pre-opening commodity market report. We should mention, though, that our schedule this morning will be revised slightly so that we can bring you live coverage of a statement from Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. He's expected to announce his resignation at 9:30 our time, Central Time, this morning, and we'll be joining NPR for that live announcement. And Dave, I suppose as usual, when we run into this kind of situation, people will be able to hear our opening reports online if they like.
Indeed. Live on the internet, go to WILLAG.org and click on the audio link, and there you'll find a link that you can listen to our agricultural broadcast live on the net. And, of course, immediately following the broadcast, as usual, we will podcast the report for those of you who take the podcast as well. Slaughter hog prices across the Midwest today are called from steady to $1 per hundredweight lower, mostly down 50 cents. Amid plentiful supplies and slowed demand ahead of the Labor Day holiday weekend, terminals called steady to lower with tops from $44.50 to $47. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $44.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Friday, August 24th, negotiated swine purchases were 13,615. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $57.75 to $70.25. The weighted average, $63.40, a loss of 95 cents from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $43.33 to $53, the weighted average, $49.55. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $13,246, the base price range, $57 to $70.50, the weighted average, $65.27, a loss of $1.71 from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $41.14 to $50.11, and the weighted average was $48.72. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser, and the announcements just keep coming. Ed, tomorrow we're out at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur.
Yes, we are, and I'll be there for part of it. You'll be there for most of it, and weather's looking a bit hot tomorrow, so dress accordingly. I don't think we're going to be needing any jackets tomorrow at all.
Outlook panels tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. at the University of Illinois tent, and then 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. at the AgriGold tent, both tents located on West Progress Avenue. That's the side of the Farm Progress Show where all the big American flags are.
And are we near 3rd Street?
We are near 3rd Street, just down the block from the food court and the air-conditioned bathrooms.
Oh, okay, good. Well, that sounds good. And some people will be seeking out air conditioning in the afternoon. First, I'll give you the Farm Progress Show weather. It appears that for those setting up today, a beautiful day, lots of sunshine, the temperature getting into the upper 80s, but tolerable humidity this afternoon. Tomorrow, again, a good bit of sunshine with a high temperature out there, probably in the low to mid-90s. It's going to be a hot day, and humidity levels will be up a little bit more. So I'm sure any displays that have those fans with blowing a little bit of mist out are going to be very popular tomorrow. Sunscreen and big hats and sunglasses definitely needed all 3 days of the Farm Progress Show. The only chance of rain will come late in the day on Wednesday. There could be a shower or thunderstorm before the 5 o'clock close for the day, but it appears more likely that any rain that does come, and we'll just have widely scattered showers and thunderstorms, so there's no guarantee any rain will come at all. But if it does come, probably sometime after closing at 5 o'clock on Wednesday into Wednesday evening. Thursday will be another dry day, mostly sunny, less humid, a little cooler. The high on Wednesday is probably going to be in the low 90s again. Thursday, low to mid 80s. So the most comfortable day of the three probably will be Thursday but all 3 days should be good. And I know a lot of people like to get out there on day one and check it all out, and it'll be a very warm day. The best weather early on in the day tomorrow is the heat of the afternoon, around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoons when typically have the hottest weather. As far as the weather in the Midwest Corn Belt, there is a cluster of thunderstorms rolling through Wisconsin right now, and it's already gone through Minnesota and parts of northern Iowa. A couple of these showers could touch the northwest corner of Illinois briefly later this morning, but most of the Corn Belt will stay dry. Once you get to the southern half of Iowa and Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, all this rain has been to the north. Now, as we go into the middle of the week, a cool front will push from northwest to southeast through the Midwest. That will trigger showers and thunderstorms farther south into the Ohio Valley Thursday, although right now it appears they'll be widely scattered. And when we look at rainfall, we're not looking at widespread heavy amounts at all. But the only areas that are going to get a good amount of rain this week are the areas already starting to see some of it. That would include Minnesota, Wisconsin, northern Iowa, parts of Michigan. So those areas are going to stay wet. Other areas may get a little rain this week, but by and large, dry weather over the next 10 days. Because after that front comes through, it looks like dry weather will be setting in for a long time. And as far as temperature goes, we're going to turn a bit warmer here. Unseasonably warm again for the first few days of this week. Then that cool front will knock temperatures back closer to average, and then it will be several days before we start to creep up again around Labor Day into next week. The Delta and Southeast remaining generally dry. There could be a few showers and thunderstorms during the next 5 days in the Delta that could bring some rain, but the dry bias continues there. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City September wheat opened at 682, down 3/4, last trade unchanged. December 698, unchanged, last trade up 1/2. At the Board of Trade in Chicago, September wheat opened at 725 3/4, unchanged, last trade up 2 1/4. December 738 3/4, down 3 1/4, last trade up 1 1/4. March 727, down 15, last trade up 1. September corn opened at 338 1/2, down 3, last trade down 7 3/4. December 355, down 3 3/4, last trade down 8. March 371 1/4, down 3, last trade down 7 1/4. May 376 1/2, down 6 1/2, last trade down 7. July 390, down 1 1/2, last trade down 6 3/4. September beans opened at 845, down 4, last trade down 7 1/2. November 858 1/2, down 6 1/2, last trade down 8 1/4. January 872, down 8 1/4, last trade down 8 1/4. September soybean meal opened at 232.10, down 160, last trade down 170. September soybean oil opened at 35.92, unchanged, last trade down 42. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
Looks like there's still some leftover lasagna from the Pro Farmer numbers on Friday, as well as maybe a little bit better weather conditions.
That's some of it. I mean, that's a good way to put it, Dave, I guess, because I was a little surprised at how starkly lower we were right off the get-go last night. The Pro Farmer numbers were certainly, you know, to me, reading through their stuff on a day-by-day basis, I didn't sense that they were going to come in that high, and that may be where the surprise is. And then the weather is certainly looking better with another chance of rain coming in here on Wednesday, but relatively dry weather after that, give everybody a chance to dry out just a little bit. Harvest is getting started in some areas. We're picking up a real variable yields wherever stuff's running, from the southeast all the way up here into the early stages in the Midwest. You know, even in Missouri, you'll get some really good yields, and then you'll get some halfway poor yields. So I think it's really going to be out for the jury to decide what we're going to have. And you may be right. It may be January before we really have a good idea of what kind of crop we've got. Overall, though, I think the corn market actually made a lot of steps towards trying to turn a little bit last week. So, you know, as farmers out here, you've got to be concerned about what your revenue payoffs are going to be. And if corn should happen to rally back here, I think you've got some issues to deal with. So if we get a nice setback, I think it behooves the farmer to step in and get some call options bought myself.
And so you're of the opinion that the July low, 324.5, is going to hold?
That's my thought, is that probably becomes a good number now, that not that we won't go back and challenge it, because what last week really means is that we have moved into no worse than a sideways pattern and possibly an up pattern. And I think most of us, my personal opinion is we today, where we're at, we've bought the bean acres that we need for next year. And we need to do some work to try and get some corn acres bought back away from beans again. So I think corn's the one that really has to take the leadership at some point in time to try and draw acres back. I think the increased fertilizer cost, increased seed cost, is all going to draw some acres right back into soy production next year.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company. He is in Indianapolis, Indiana. You are listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.